This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
When Nicodemus asked Jesus, How can a man be born when he is old? And again he asked, Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? It was obvious from this response, Nicodemus understood Jesus quite literally. But how can these things be? Are we to understand that physical life is just the first step in a process which results in immortality? Was Jesus explaining a birthing process that literally will result in a metabolic change from mortal flesh to something called immortal spirit? Was it this realization that finally caused Nicodemus to surprisingly respond with the question, How can these things be? Stay with us as we attempt to understand this question and find out what's really behind the meaning of being born again.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. We're delighted you've chosen to take time to view this program and participate in fellowship with us through the electronic media. Today's program presents me an opportunity to ask a probing question. The title of the program is, Are You a Member of the Club? Club is in quotes, and it's in quotes because there's a club that will be defined by individuals who say they are participant based on their belief that it puts them in the club. It's a varied list. Politicians, athletes, performers, theologians, all say that they are part of this club. Let me give you some names to give you an idea of what I'm going to be doing here today. George W. Bush, former president of the United States, says that he is in the club. Bill Clinton, former president of the United States, is also in the club. And that's so interesting because here you have the polar opposites. You've got a Republican and a Democrat who say they are in the club. But it goes on further. There are some activists in the society who also claim they're part of the club, like Jesse Jackson. Yes, he says he's in the club. And Al Sharpton claim that they're in the club. But there's also Sarah Palin, former governor of the state of Alaska, and, former candidate for the vice president of the United States, says she's also in the club. But in addition to them, there's the venerable Bill Graham. Billy Graham says he's in the club, and he has been a counselor to presidents and been around since the late 40s, preaching and teaching, and he insists that he's a part of the club. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland say that they are also in the club, along with the Gaithers, and I could go down a list of folk in the religious community who claim to be in the club. What about athletes? Tony Dungy, the former coach of the Indianapolis Colts, says he's in the club. And the late Randy White, remember he was called the Secretary of Defense, played with the Philadelphia Eagles and then the Green Bay Packers. He died unexpectedly and suddenly, but he said he was in the club. Remember when his church burned down in Tennessee, and a lot was made of that. But after he retired from football, he went a different way than he had been going, because now he became interested in Judaism and in Sabbath keeping and holy days. The media doesn't like to talk much about that. And since he's deceased, they won't follow through on any story about him. But this club consists of a wide range of people. Millions of people claim to be in this club. The club to which I refer is the club of folk who say, we've been born again. Born again. Well, that's quite interesting to suggest that you've been born again when you still are walking around in flesh. Before we continue in the program, I want to let you know what we're going to be offering today. The booklet is entitled Born from Above or Born Again. And the CD by Bill Watson is entitled Born Again. It's a subject that the Bible covers very thoroughly, but is often misunderstood because there is a desire to be born again, but the requirements to fully mature into the born again condition is not understood. And we want to clarify that today and suggest that you make that toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 to secure the free material or stop by on the website at www.cgi.org. Now, as we continue in today's program, I want to turn now to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and the third chapter. This powerful presentation is where the phrase born again first appears. And its appearance is in connection with a ruler of the Pharisees, or ruler of the Jews, who was politically and theologically aligned with the Pharisees. And he comes to Jesus by night because he had a confession to make to Jesus Christ. And the confession was what happens many times in the lives of people. This variety of people on the list that I gave to you suggests that on the one hand, they are politically active in one state of being, but behind closed doors, they would be aligned with each other as born-again Christians. Which means to me that what Nicodemus says to Jesus is quite interesting. Look at what it says in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Ravi, or Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. We know. But they didn't act like that in public. That's my point, is that on the public demeanor, they say he is not from God. He is not of God. He's not God in the flesh. He's a rabble-rouser, a troublemaker. But behind closed doors, they confessed among themselves the following. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Then Jesus makes this profound statement, this statement totally out of context, but he knew what was on Nicodemus' mind. And it's probably on the minds of some of you now as I share this program with you. You believe that you have been born again. You try to indicate that by the fruits of your life. It may be how you treat one another. It may be a transition from drug addiction, alcoholism, brutality, stealing, killing, and destroying to a person of peace because you have been converted. Conversion and born again should not be confused because Jesus here says the following. Verily or truly I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, if I claim to be born again, my friends, and you see me, how can I be in the kingdom of God? Because you can see me. Jesus clearly says he cannot see the kingdom of God. A Christian is supposed to be a representative of the kingdom of God, not yet in the kingdom of God, but a representative of it. And the kingdom of God is coming to this earth. Jesus Christ is going to bring it back with him. But in order to qualify to go into that kingdom, Jesus says you must be born again. Now, some people suggest that that phrase should be born from above, but that's okay, because the notion is that there is a generation of a new life in Christ by the practice or the participation of God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes. Remember what was asked on the day of Pentecost by the people who heard Peter and the other disciples speak? What was their statement? What must we do to inherit eternal life? And Peter says, you must repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit begins the process of being born again. It's a continuum. It is not a fait accompli. You just don't get baptized one day and you receive the Holy Spirit and you can declare to everyone watching, I'm born again. All I would need to do is take a little pin and prick you with it deeply to see if you are still flesh. Because later on, the Apostle Paul says this amazing thing in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What about all these people walking around claiming to be born again? How can that be so? It seems to be a juxtaposition. It seems to be a contradiction to say that in the flesh I am born again when the scriptures say otherwise. But Jesus Christ goes on in this passage to give some indication as to what that means. It does raise a question. And Nicodemus cited the question. In verse 4 he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, Nicodemus understood something quite clearly that somehow we miss. The birthing process begins with conception. And that conception requires in the human family 280 days. 280 days before the fulfillment of that birth is realized. It goes through a gestation period, a maturation period, in the incubator of the womb of the mother. And the church is analogous to being the mother of us all, and therefore we should comprehend and understand that to be born again requires a process, culminating in us being born as spirit beings in the family of God, in the kingdom of God. Now, those who claim to have been born again miss the point. Here's what Jesus goes on to say to clarify it in answering Nicodemus' question. Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, two things required, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I don't know what you need, a brick bat against the head or Jesus to come down and say, now look, why are you fooling around with my words? Why are you distorting them? Why are you going contrary to what I intended for Nicodemus to know and for you to know, because the Spirit inspired John, my apostle, to write it down, to record it for your consideration here in the 21st century. He said in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. If you and I are still flesh, then we are not yet spirit. We may have the Spirit in us. We may have access to the Spirit, and the Scripture encourages us to do the following. Do not quench the Spirit. The Spirit is a guide. The Spirit is a companion. It's something that Jesus promised to give to us upon his departure. In the Gospel of John, later on, he says, I will never leave you comfortless. I will never leave you alone. I will give you a parakletos, a companion, a guide to go along with you. And that's the Spirit of God. That's the impregnating, life-giving force of a spirit being. But you are yet in the incubator of life, the incubator of the church, to come into full growth and fruition of a real spirit being. And so here we find Jesus explaining it. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and all the people I mentioned who said they're in the club are still in the flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't get in a tizzy about it. Don't be argumentative about it, he says, that I said unto you, Nicodemus, you must be born again, born from above, having the infusion of life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't marvel at that. That's not a mystery. He then uses this analogy. He says, the wind, now this is powerful right here, blows where it listeth, where it wants to go. And you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Friends, I cannot disappear. Can you? That is, where you evaporate from the vision of a person standing watching you instantaneously and you become like the wind. anybody in that category. We still see Bill Clinton. We still see George W. Bush and Sarah Palin and Sharpton and all the people I mentioned in the beginning of this program, don't we? They can't disappear like we might want some of them to do, but they cannot disappear because they're still in the flesh. So what is it that I'm doing here? Am I trying to confuse you with what your pastor has told you and what particular literature has expressed to you that you've got to be born again, and you are born again if you can speak in tongues, you're born again if you can do miracles, and you're born again because of your habits of life? Is that how you determine if you're born again? Jesus clearly says that is not the way you make that judgment. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be? Are you a master in Israel?" Jesus responded to him in verse 10 by saying, "And you don't know these things?" Now that's quite a dig. Because this is a man, Nicodemus, who was learned. He was a scholar. He was a ruler in Israel with the Sanhedrin, the 70 who made decisions and were part of the teaching class and the leadership class of that day. How many people do you know of who put themselves in that category via television, the internet, who proclaim the word of God, they say, and especially on this point, will declare to you that you are born again if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? No, that's just a decision. The birthing process requires some time, and in that time, it's more than 280 days, but in the process of that time, you can mature to the place that when Jesus comes, and the Word of God declares He has a second coming, He will take unto Himself those who He is going to transform into spirit beings, no longer in the flesh. The entire 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, written by the Apostle Paul, called the resurrection chapter, tells you that. That which is flesh, that which is spirit, you plant something in the terrestrial, in the earth, and it matures or comes forth with new life in the celestial. Very important point that Jesus was making, but look back at this statement that God gives, or Jesus gives here to Nicodemus. He says, "Are you a ruler in Israel and don't know these things?" This is a suggestion that Nicodemus should have known what is written over in the book of Ezekiel. Turn with me over there if you have your Bibles handy. If not, just write the note down so that you can go to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. Ezekiel 36, we'll start in verse 24 down through verse 27 and see what Ezekiel wrote way back in his captivity in the days of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian captivity. Contemporary with Daniel, contemporary with Jeremiah, here's what God inspired him to realize. He says, this is God speaking, "For I will take you from among all the nations," or the heathen, "and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you." Now that's so interesting because the purpose of Jesus being baptized was not to cleanse him of sin, but to be an example for us to cleanse ourselves of sin through the process of baptism. It's a figurative thing. It's not a literal thing because we're still in the flesh once you come up out of the water of baptism. But it is a picture of dying in Christ. As Christ died, so do we die to our sin, to our nature, into Christ, and you are resurrected into a new life. What did Peter say on the day of Pentecost when the question was asked, "What must we do to be saved?" The answer was clear. You must repent, be baptized. That's that water thing that was so prominent in the Old Testament in the days of the temple, where a lot of oblations and washings went on, and baptisms, if you will, because it was the nature to implement the notion of cleanliness through the water. So when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born of the water and the Spirit," Jesus says to Nicodemus further, "You should have known this. You've got the book of Ezekiel. it says it clearly here that you must be cleansed with water. But it goes on in verse 26 to say this, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. This is a process. This is a journey that begins at a place where you make a decision for Christ. Have you ever heard that expression? To make a decision for Christ that you are going to follow Jesus, you're going to commit your life to him, then begins the process. Then begins the journey, step by step, until you come to the full fruition of what God wants you to be. And that may require that you first die literally. Your life ends physically, and you rest in the grave. But then there's a resurrection. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians is all about, the 15th chapter? A resurrection from the dead. And in addition to that, if you should be blessed to still be alive when Jesus comes, your flesh ceases to exist and you become a spirit being. That's the born again reality. But to be born from above means that the Spirit of God comes into your life to transform you. Is that not what we read here in Ezekiel? Again, it says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you then to follow my regulations, follow my rules, follow my pattern, follow the steps of Jesus Christ. You cannot do it otherwise. Now, back to the club. There are some fine people in this list that I've talked about. They're people who live a very upright life. And perhaps you consider yourself as one of those. Good. Wonderful. But you should not be confused by the fact of doing good works, sharing your life, being committed to the service of humanity. You should not confuse that with being already born again. Why? Well, the process is not yet over. It's a journey. It's a journey to which we must commit ourselves continually, a journey that requires reviewing our lives on a daily basis, reviewing our situations and conditions. If we ever want to get to the place of receiving what John 3:16 says, you all know that, don't you? Oh, that's a marvelous place. I'm turning to it, but I know it by heart, as many of you do. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The saving process, the continuum of salvation, has a starting place, a middle, and the culmination at the end of the manifestation of the sons of God on the earth. Now, I'm looking forward to that. Now, you might say, am I a member of the club? No, I'm not a member of the club. I'm not born again yet. I still have some issues in my life. I still have some fleshly things that trouble me, that sometimes distract me, sometimes present difficulties. But then I must turn back to the Savior. As Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, turn to the Savior so that he can shine a light on those secret places, those difficult places, those times of tribulation, as it were, when I manifest fleshliness in my life. What about you? Have you reached such a spiritual state of being that you can declare unadulteratedly, irrespective of what Jesus says, you could declare, I'm born again because I don't sin, I don't chew a gum, I don't dip snuff, and I don't take a drink. But what do you think? You see, what goes on in your mind is also under consideration by God the Father. And that will determine if you are still in the flesh or in the spirit. Jesus, in this powerful book, back in John 3, went on to say this. Verily, verily, this is in verse 11, truly, truly, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now, the next verse is going to knock your socks off if you've not read it, or if you've read it and looked over it. It says, and no man, I'm letting that soak in, marinate for a moment, and no man, no human being has ascended up to heaven. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven, that means that Enoch is not there. It means Noah is not there. Moses is not there. The great prophet, I'll think of his name here in a moment. Wonderful, wonderful fellow. He prophesied in Israel at the time of Elijah. Yeah, that's my boy, Elijah. I say, my boy, you know, I'd like to be like Elijah, call fire down from heaven and all that and speak a word and it doesn't rain on the earth for quite a little while. However, friends, Jesus said, no man. He not only said no man is ascended to heaven, but you're not born again yet if you're still in the flesh. Now, this material that we're offering to you today, let me go back and tell you about it so that you'll know what to ask for. The CD is a sermon by Bill Watson entitled Born Again. It goes through the discussion in greater detail than I could do in this short period of time. And the literature that will help you deal and discern with the phrase born again versus born from above, the booklet is entitled Born from Above or Born Again. Both of these items can be yours absolutely free when you take time to dial 1-888-578-8791. Or stop by the website at www.cgi.org. This material is sent absolutely free. We're one of the few programs on the air that offers material free of charge, with no follow-up, no haranguing, no badgering, or anything like that. We are designed this way to provide that free material for you. Now, if you think I might have misstated something in the program, or you want to check it out a little more thoroughly, take time to make that toll-free call, 1-888-578-8791. Till next time, I'm Bronson James here on the Armor of God, encouraging you, my friends, stick your nose in the Word of God and discern it in a way that you've not discerned it before, because what somebody may have told you about it will be, well, shall we say, washed over and cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. This program has come to you by the Church of God International. Stay tuned. I'll come back with us next week. That's what I want you to do. Come back and join us here on the Armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.